in his angry little head right now. Here's my vote. It doesn't sound like he's given you good enough reason to keep sitting through this one-man show called I Want to Kill My Wife. If he misses you, he can get his act together and call you when his head is clearer. In the meantime, you have much better things to do, including going out and buying a ticket to a much higher quality piece of theater. Sincerely, Greg. Again, it's never going to be good news if you have to think of your relationship in terms of waiting for him. He's not a stock you're supposed to be investing in. He's a man who's supposed to be emotionally available enough to talk to you, see you, and perhaps fall madly in love with you. That's why he's on a date with you. And if you want to ask for the absolute minimum, he can at least have the courtesy to be good company.
It's so simple.
Yes. You are going to meet many men in many different stages of recovering from relationships. If he's really into you, he will get over his issues fast and make sure he doesn't lose you. Or he will make it clear to you how he feels so there's no mystery and tell you up front that he's not up to it right now. And then you can best be sure the minute he's ready, he will run out and find you. You are not easily forgettable.
Here's why this one is hard. By Liz.
Because it's you. Not someone you read about or heard about or saw on TV. It's you and it's hard. And you deserve happiness just like his wife or his girlfriend does. And sometimes people get married before they've actually met the person they're meant to be with. Or marriages just die and there's nothing left to them. And if they're not married but somehow deeply distracted by someone else, well, most men are usually coming out of some situation while they get into the next one. So why not hang on for dear life until he shakes off his ex? The operative word in both cases here is wait. You have to do the waiting, the biding your time, biting your tongue, keeping your needs quiet. He's so special, that guy. He deserves to have you sit around, putting your life on hold, not getting what you want, while he takes his time sorting it all out. He's that special. You, of course, aren't at all. Now, I happen to be really good at biding my time and asking for little and being happy with the even less that I get. I haven't personally dated a married man, but I am an expert in dating emotionally unavailable ones. I have to be honest, it feels really noble and romantic and dramatic to be filled with longing and heartache, knowing the man you love, for whatever reason, can't be yours right now. And you're willing to wait for him because your feelings for him are so very large and profound. Of course, I am now suspicious that my feelings for them all felt so large and profound precisely because they couldn't be mine, but I wouldn't be able to prove that in court. If you're really comfortable with that too, and nothing that this audiobook or your friends or your therapist can say will help you change that, then eventually, I hope, like me, you'll eventually just get tired of it. Sometimes all the psychological help in the world can't do anything. Sometimes boredom just has to set in. You get bored with always having less than everybody else seems to have, less than what you want. You start thinking that maybe you actually deserve better, not because you learned to love yourself or lost all that weight or saw that great episode of Dr. Phil, but just because you got bored. Bored with the same type of misery over and over and over again. That's what happened to me, I think. I hope it will be a lot faster for you.
This is what it should look like. By Liz.
My friend met a guy who had just broken up with his girlfriend 2 weeks before, after living with her for 3 years. She thought that she was just going to be his rebound romance. He thought she may be that as well. But even though he could have used the excuse that he wasn't ready yet, because he had just gotten out of something, he didn't. Because he was really into her, he never let her feel that he wasn't available to her. They are now in a serious relationship.
Greg, I get it. By Janine, age 43.
I recently met a guy online whose wife had passed away 3 months earlier. We went out a few times and it was clear he wasn't really ready to be dating. He was deeply grieving and spent a lot of time talking about his wife and how wonderful she was. I was tempted to take care of him, console him, and nurse him through this difficult period. I liked him and had fantasies about what he would be like when he was better. But then I realized that I didn't want to be with someone who I had to heal into the relationship. I told him I didn't feel comfortable dating him so soon after his wife's death, but that I hadn't closed any doors and would love to see him again when more time had passed. Then I went back online and continued my search.
If you don't believe Greg...
A friend of mine was on a first date with a woman who mentioned she was also dating a married man. He immediately told her there wouldn't be a second date, because if she didn't like herself enough to be in a proper relationship, why should he?
What you should have learned in this chapter.
He's married.
Unless he's all yours, he's still hers.
There are cool, loving, single men in the world. Find one of them to go out with.
If a guy's yelling about his ex-wife or crying over his last girlfriend, try to find someone else to take you to the movies.
He's married.
Don't be that girl.
You are not easily forgotten. Let him find you when he's ready.
Our super good, really helpful exercise.
Think of at least 5 things you want or have ever wanted in a man. We'll wait. Now, did married or emotionally unavailable make that list?
Yeah, we didn't think so. You're far too classy and smart for that.
Chapter 11. He's just not that into you if he's a selfish jerk, a bully, or a really big freak. If you really love someone, you want to do things to make that person happy.
He's got so much good in him, he really does. I just wish he wouldn't tell me to shut up all the time. Yeah, that's a problem. Try not to ignore it. I know he's got so many other great qualities. That's why you fell in love with him in the first place. I know you wouldn't fall in love with an asshole, but here's the trick. Forget about him and his good qualities. Even forget about his bad ones. Forget about all his excuses and what he promises, and ask yourself one question only. Is he making you happy? People are complicated. They're a mixed bag of lovable and dysfunctional qualities. That's why they are so darn confusing. That's why trying to figure them out is a waste of time. Is he making you happy? I don't mean some of the time, on rare occasions, not that often, but the good still outweighs the bad. Does he make it clear in his actions every day that your happiness is important to him? If the answer is no, cut him loose and go find a man with a higher good count.
The "he's really trying to be better" excuse.
Dear Greg, my boyfriend is selfish. He says he loves me and he does include me in his life. We are close to each other's families and he's a very good man in many ways. But we have been living together for 4 years and he never shares household responsibilities, doesn't put any effort into going on nice dates with me, doesn't make a big deal about my birthday, never brings me flowers, won't walk the dog, rarely compliments me, doesn't thank me when I make a nice dinner for him and his friends, isn't that affectionate, and doesn't want to go on nice vacations with me. We talk about it all the time, and he swears that he's trying to change, but his changes are pretty imperceptible. The question is, can he really love me as much as he says he does, and be this much of a dick? Signed, Paula.
Dear Addicted, you've got to be kidding. Take your letter, hold it up, and read it to yourself and a friend. If you can't figure out the answer, call the cops, because someone's had their brains stolen. P.S. The answer to your question is no. People who are in love with each other generally try to be nice. Some even get a kick out of treating their mate well and trying to make their life better. He may think he loves you, and maybe he does, but he's really bad at it. And it's exactly the same result as if he was just not that into you. Greg. Try not to be 4 years into a relationship when it suddenly dawns on you that the guy you're with is a big, selfish jerk. Chances are, Jerk Boy has been trying to show you who he is since day one.
The "it's just the way he was brought up" excuse.
Dear Greg, my boyfriend of a year is perfect in every way. He just happened to grow up in a very dysfunctional family with only one brother and a crazy mother. I am from a very big, close, loving family. He does not ever want to spend time with my family, and when given the choice, will always stay at home rather than go for a visit. When I do take him with me to family dinners, he's sullen and unfriendly. We talk about it, and he says he just isn't into family. It's hard to imagine sharing a future with someone like this. But at the same time, isn't how we get along alone more important? And I think eventually he would get used to my family and come around, don't you? They're really nice people. Signed, Enid.
Dear all in the family. So your boyfriend is perfect in every way except he's not into your family. Wow, that's a pretty big exception. Sure, he's got kind of a good excuse to be selfish, because that's all this is about, really. A lot of people don't list on their top 10 favorite things to do spending time with other people's family. But aren't you hoping one day to include him in that family? In fact, back in the old days, I don't know exactly when that was, but you know what I mean, your family would have had to approve of him before he even got to meet you. So don't sell out your family for this dude. If he was really into you and truly planning on sticking around, he would be doing a little tap dance for your awesome family every time he saw them, and perhaps baking them a little cake as well. Signed, Greg. He doesn't have to love your CD collection. He doesn't have to love your shoes. But any good, mature guy better make an attempt to love your family and friends, especially when they're great.
The "it's not always going to be like this" excuse.
Dear Greg, I am dating a guy in medical school. He's overworked, overtired, and gets angry easily. He yells at me when I wake him up by mistake, and he recently screamed at me because he felt I was bothering him when he was in the middle of studying for some big exam. The thing is, I know that this is just temporary because he's in medical school. He wasn't like this in the beginning when he just started dating and he hadn't started school yet. He was really sweet and thoughtful. And every once in a while, he'll feel bad and apologize and tell me how much pressure he's under. I know the real guy is going to come back, Greg. Signed, Denise. P.S. Besides, I always wanted to marry a doctor.
Dear old Yeller, I don't care if he's studying to become the next Messiah. There is no reason to yell at anyone ever unless you're screaming, "Look out for that bus!" And it's not temporary. People who yell are people with anger issues who need help. People who yell are people who think that they're entitled to yell. Hey, hot stuff. Do you want to be that couple? You know, that couple where the guy yells at his wife all the time? Even better, do you want him to be that dad? I didn't think so. Don't wait around for Mr. Hyde to turn back to Dr. Jekyll. Go meet a man who really knows what it means to take care of people. Regards, Greg.
The "it's behind closed doors that counts" excuse.
Dear Greg, I love my boyfriend. We live together and he is really good to me. He takes me on expensive vacations and buys me really lovely, thoughtful presents. I feel very secure with him. My friends are kind of not into him because he happens to make fun of me a little when we're out together. He makes fun of the fact that I didn't go to an Ivy League college, and likes to point out when I say something grammatically incorrect or when I get a piece of information wrong. He loves to disagree with me in front of other people and make a big deal about me not knowing as much as I should about current affairs. I don't care. I assume it just comes from insecurity. He's not like that when we're alone, I swear. So why should I care? Isn't it how he treats me when we're alone that counts? Signed, Nina.
Dear Glutton for Punishment, he sounds perfect, if you like bad people. Why would you want to be with someone who belittles you so that he can feel superior, and especially in front of your friends? Which Ivy League school has a program in public belittlement? Because that's what this guy majored in if he thinks that insulting you in front of your friends is going to make him seem like anything other than an idiot. And why should you care if he treats you better when you're alone? Because it sounds like he can't wait to get you out in public just so he can humiliate you. Dump Mr. Smarty Pants and go get a degree in "A Man I Can Be Around My Friends With." From the University of I Like Myself, Greg.
The "but he's just trying to help" excuse.
Dear Greg, I have a boyfriend who really understands what I'm going through. I've always had a weight problem and I've been battling it my whole life. He's a huge gym rat and is very food conscious. He tells me what I can and can't eat. If I want to cheat, he tells me that it will go straight to my fat ass. He lets me know if I'm putting on weight, but he also tells me when I look good and I'm making progress. I think it's great that he's so understanding of my issue. My friends think he's mean to me. I don't agree. What do you think, Greg? Signed, Nadia.
Dear Weight Watchers, this guy doesn't sound like your personal trainer. He sounds like your personal bully. And to remind you, his job title is actually just personal boyfriend. But he's a clever personal bully. He knows that you feel bad about yourself and leaps to take advantage of that. Bullies prey on people weaker than them, even ones that lift weights every day. It's time you use your quads and hamstrings to run away from him and never come back. Greg. I'm going to comment on the last three together. There's lots of behavior that can be considered abusive that doesn't include being beaten about the head and neck. That includes getting yelled at, being publicly humiliated, or being made to feel fat and unattractive. It's hard to feel worthy of love when someone is going out of their way to make you feel worthless. Being told to get out of these relationships may not work for you. Knowing that you're better than these relationships is the place to start. You are better than these relationships.
The, but now I'm playing in the big leagues, excuse.
Dear Greg, I've been on 3 dates with a guy who's a really great catch. He is a journalist who has an incredibly exciting life. He travels, goes on adventures, and has incredibly interesting observations about it all. He's also really funny. He compliments me and seems to like me and keeps asking me out. He always says he's had a great time with me, but in fact, in the 3 dates we've had together, he actually hasn't asked me one question about myself. He is obviously really into me, otherwise why would he keep asking me out and telling me how nice I look? Maybe this is what it's like dating exciting guys. He's a great catch, Greg. Signed, Rhonda.
Dear captive audience, you are so lucky to be with such an exciting guy. You get to watch him perform conversational masturbation on you. Hot. He's clearly as impressed with himself as you are. I hate to tell you this, but he's just not that into you. He's into how you look listening to him. When I met my wife, all I wanted to do was ask her questions. How else was I going to know what she was all about? Yes, I liked telling her my story too. I wanted to impress her with my feats of glory. But it was an even exchange because I thought that she was the catch. When two people are connecting, they hunger for information about each other. A sliver of what life's like when you're not together, a glimpse into their past, a peek into their mind. All in hopes of getting under their skin. This guy sounds like a megalomaniac. At the very least, he should be asking you what kind of underwear you're wearing. Signed, Greg. Remember, you are the catch. They're out to snare you. They are not the tasty little mako that will be so good mesquite grilled in a nice lemon sauce. You are. Well, you know what I mean.
The, he's just finding himself, excuse.
Dear Greg, my boyfriend hasn't had a job in 2 years. He's really sweet and wonderful, but just doesn't know what he wants to do with his life. He DJs every once in a while, but basically, I support him. I work and have a little family money. I know he's really into me. He just needs to figure out what he wants, right? Or maybe he's just depressed. Signed, Julie.
Dear Bringing Home the Bacon, so I don't understand. Do you leave him the money on the counter in the morning, or do you pay him for doing chores around the house? Listen, Moneybags, he may be really into you, but he doesn't seem that into himself, or he wouldn't have let you support him for 2 years. Therefore, by living off of you, he's behaving in a way that perfectly resembles someone who's just not that into you. A man that's really into you and himself will try and get his act together as fast as he can. That means, first and foremost, collecting a salary. And just beware. Often these guys, once they do get their lives in order, feel so good about it that now they think they need to go find a new relationship. After all, no girl of real quality would have put up with the kind of crap that he had dished out for so long. So I say, let him go find himself, just not on your dime. Then see if Mr. DJ spins back into your life again. Sincerely, Greg. People go through rough patches all the time. But as the saying goes, when the going gets tough, the tough don't ask to borrow $500 so they can pay their bar tab down at Patty's. The only job you need to worry about is the job of finding yourself someone who would never be that comfortable living off you and your family's money.
The maybe it's just his little quirk excuse.
Dear Greg, I met a guy who's really sensitive and sweet. The problem is, he doesn't like to be physically affectionate. He tells me that he just doesn't enjoy being touched. We have sex and it's nice, but he's not that into caressing me either. Everything else about him is great, so it seems like such a strange complaint. Do you think not wanting to cuddle and be touched is a sign that he's just not that into me? Or could it mean he has intimacy issues? I don't want to dump him over this, but I like physical affection. Signed, Frida.
Dear Starved for Affection, I have to say, little suspicious of someone who doesn't like one of the greatest pleasures on earth. What else does he not like that you know about? Puppies? Babies? Having a soul? And if you like being affectionate for all the obvious reasons, then why would you want to doom yourself to a no-touching zone with Mr. Uncomfortable? Yes, some men have a hard time being physically affectionate, but actually not enjoying it? It's difficult to fathom. He may be really into you, but he's certainly not really compatible with you. I say move on, meet someone who enjoys the things you like, and have a long life filled with playful grab ass. XOXO Greg. You will meet people who don't like to be touched, or kissed, or who don't like to have sex. You can spend a lot of time trying to fix them or wondering if you should take it personally. Or you can realize that they simply don't like to do the things you find absolutely essential to your enjoyment of life. And then go find yourself someone who does.
The rare and exotic, he's afraid of the intimacy of sleep excuse.
Dear Greg, I have been dating a guy for a year who can't sleep in the same bed with me. After we have sex, which is always nice and great, he has to go sleep on the couch. He tells me he just can't deal. Everything else is fine with our relationship. I just figure he has some intimacy issues that I have to be patient with. Does this have to be a sign that he's just not that into me, or can I just see this through? Signed, Gloria.
Dear freak lover, here's what I like to do. Put money down on the fact that everything is in fact not fine with you and Freak Boy's relationship. He hasn't slept in the same bed with you for a year? This is a freak who needs to be kicked off your freak-loving couch and shown the bottom of your freak-loving boot. The fact that you even care what this freak thinks of you is just proof that the world is indeed gone mad. Call it curtains for the freak show, please. Hugs from here, Greg. If you date, you will meet your share of weirdos and jerks. That is as sure as death and taxes. The only thing in your control is how long you allow these gentlemen to take up space in your life. In case you're not sure, it should be about 10 minutes from when they first display their completely unacceptable behavior or lizard-like tail. 10 minutes still gives you time to put on all your clothes and make sure that you have deleted your number from his cell phone.
It's so simple.
There's a difference between eccentric and insane. Eccentric will sometimes wear a velvet jacket. Insane will only have sex with you while wearing it. There's a difference between teasing and abuse. Teasing is, Bjork called, she wants her dress back. Abuse is, boy, you are getting fat. But the biggest difference is you. You all are ultimately better than the treatment you are receiving from these men.
Here's Why This One Is Hard, by Liz.
I've been implying this in my Here's Why This One Is Hard responses, but now I'm just going to come right out with it. There aren't that many good men around. Statistics prove it, articles and books have been written to verify it, and women would be happy to testify under oath about it. And here's another one. There are more good women out there than good men. I bet you've heard or said that one before. Oh wait, there's this one as well. A lot of men want to date much younger women. So as you get older, there are even fewer men that want to date you. So let's have Greg come over to our house with a little pocket calculator and tell us how, given the pure math of it, we're all going to end up with great men who love us and whom we love back, where there's a passionate mutual attraction who also treat us like queens. Exactly. It can happen. So yes, it seems logical, reasonable, and downright savvy for all the fantastic, smart, healthy, funny, kind women out there to start thinking about lowering their expectations. Because I don't know about you, but I hate being single. I hate going to parties alone. I hate sleeping alone. I hate waking up alone. I hate knowing that every single boring errand I have to do, I'm going to do alone. I hate not having sex. I hate cooking for one and shopping for one. I hate going to weddings. I hate people asking me why I'm still single. I hate people not asking me why I'm still single. I hate my birthday because I'm still single. I hate having to think about possibly becoming a single mother because I'm single. Have I made myself clear? Obviously, I don't think people should go out with someone who is abusive to them. But there are subtle degrees of abuse. There are many shades of Mr. Wrong. And these guys that we're talking about, they're not just assholes. They can be nice sometimes, too. And there are many days when I personally think it's better to be with someone your friends might hate but will help you carry in the groceries than be alone. So I said it. This one is very hard for me. It's so hard for me that I think Greg has to take over. It's too difficult. I am deeply pragmatic, so given the sheer statistics, I don't have a clue on what to say. I know we have to love ourselves and think we deserve happiness and be optimistic. I also think it sucks to be single. Greg, are you really telling us that we should just stay single and picky and not settle, and thus not settle down, until we have met the person we think is the one? It's really lonely out there. You take this one. I don't have a clue.
We are now at the crux of the whole matter, aren't we? It's not so funny when we get to the really painful, lonely center of it all. I get that it is a much more profound problem than he's just not that into you. I have sat up many nights with so many friends and my sister in tears trying to get them to believe that they are better than the men who are messing up their lives. So I will try to answer this as best I can. Being lonely, being alone for many people sucks. I get it. I get it. I get it. But still, I have to say that, yes, my true belief is being with somebody who makes you feel shitty or doesn't honor the person you are is worse. The statistics are bleak. But don't use statistics to keep you down or keep you frightened. You can't do anything with these statistics except scare yourself and your girlfriends. So I say, fuck statistics. It's your life. How dare you not have faith in it? The only story that has ever helped me, Greg Barrett, live my life successfully is the story of faith. I believe that life will turn out well. More fervently, I believe that you have no other choice but then to believe that. I have written this book, and women will be reading it and hearing it because we are all tired of operating from a place of fear. You want to believe that you are better than all the crap that you've been taking from all these men all these years. Well, you are. You are an excellent, foxy human being worthy of love. And the only way you can pursue that idea is by honoring yourself. At the very least, this means ridding your world of dudes who are not worthy and setting a standard of excellence in your daily life. Let's start with this statistic. You are delicious. Be brave, my sweet. I know it can get lonely. I know you can crave companionship and sex and love so badly that it physically hurts. But I truly believe that the only way that you can find out that there is something better out there is to first believe that there is something better out there. I'll believe it for you until you're ready.
This is What It Should Look Like by Greg.
My friend Amy is deathly afraid of clowns, so her husband Russell makes sure she never sees one or is near one. Now, this may not seem like a difficult task or one that requires great personal sacrifice until you've actually tried to avoid all the clowns in the world. Oh, it's not as easy as you'd think. You'd be amazed at how many clowns are out there. But Russell does it because after 10 years of marriage, he still wants to protect his wife from the things that frighten her.
Greg, I get it. By Georgia, age 33.
I went out with this guy who really was not nice to my friends. He would barely smile or make eye contact with them when he'd meet them. And if he got into a conversation with them, he wouldn't ask them any questions about themselves. Sometimes, when they would be talking to him, he would turn away from them mid-sentence. He wouldn't say he didn't like them, but that's just the way he was. Okay, so I'll admit it. I didn't break up with him over it. He ended up dumping me. But now looking back, I'm glad I'm not with someone like that. I want to be with someone who is charming and loves my friends. I want to someday go out with someone who my friends meet and call me the next day and say, oh my God, he's great.
If you don't believe me. A guy friend of mine refuses to break up with a woman he's engaged to because he's scared. Yeah, we're a classy species. When I beg the guy to pull the plug, he always says the same thing. Greg, I'm waiting for the big fight. I'm just waiting for the big fight. In the meantime, he picks on, bickers with, and needles his fiancée so that he can have the big fight and get it over with. It's not pretty, but I hope it scares you just a bit. 100% of the guys polled said that they have never tried to torture or humiliate a girl they were really into. Well, that's a start.
What you should have learned in this chapter.
Life is hard enough as it is without choosing someone difficult to share it with.
You deserve to be with someone who is nice to you all the time. You have to be nice to them too.
There's never a reason to shout at someone unless they are in imminent danger.
Freaks should remain at the circus, not in your apartment.
You already have one asshole. You don't need another.
Make a space in your life for the glorious things you deserve.
Have faith. What other choice is there?
Our super good, really helpful exercise.
If you're in a relationship that you suspect is not good for you, but you're not sure, do this simple exercise.
Take out a tape recorder. Tell the story of your relationship into it. Play it out loud. Imagine that your best friend in the whole world is telling you the story instead of you. Would you want better for her? If it's impossible for you to think you deserve better, try to at least believe one of your friends who thinks you deserve better. Just long enough to get you out of the relationship.
Chapter 12. Don't listen to these stories.
Sure, there are the stories. Guys that get pursued by some girl first and she ends up being the love of his life. The guy that treats this girl that he sometimes sleeps with like shit for a couple of years, but she keeps at him and now he's a devoted husband and father. The guy who doesn't call a girl that he's slept with for a month and then calls her and they live happily ever after. The woman who's sleeping with the married guy, who she ends up marrying and having a blissful long-term marriage with. We don't want you to listen to these stories. These stories don't help you. These stories are the exceptions to the rule. We want you to think of yourself as the rule. Thinking of yourself as the exception is what got you into this mess in the first place. Tell your friends to stop telling you these stories. Whenever you hear one of these stories, a story where some woman was treated badly, but it all worked out okay in the end, just put your hands up to your ears and go, la 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 la. You are exceptional, but not the exception.
Chapter 13. Now, what do you do?
Okay. We just laid waste to your personal lives. We admit it. If all the women in this book listened to these answers, there would right now be a fresh crop of newly single women out there. Therefore, it seems like it's our duty to discuss what one must do after the breakup. We are not psychiatrists or very girly, particularly Liz. So we're not going to talk about candles and bubble baths and sending yourself flowers. But I think we could ask you to at least try to notice, even just a tiny bit, how good it feels to be out of a relationship with someone who actually wasn't that into you. Can you at least feel the sense of relief? When you think about it, making all those excuses for someone and trying to figure someone out takes a lot of energy. Think of all the time you've opened up for so many other positive things besides obsessing over him. Yes, breakups are painful, even from someone you may have only dated a few times. You may have been really excited about him and had a lot of hopes for the future. But how empowering to have the mental clarity to say, he just wasn't that into me. Can you imagine that girl in the future? Nothing will be able to stop her. Now, there's a million things you can do after a breakup. What you do during that time, yoga, affirmation tapes, murder, is your business. But basically, you're going to have to feel the pain. You're going to have to go through it, and then you're going to have to get over it. All we can try to do is help you do it differently in the future. The first thing we're going to recommend is setting some standards.
Reset your standards.
Sure, you say, but I have standards. Well, your standards led you to this audiobook. So let's raise them. Let's set a dignified bar for you to exist at. Let's put you in charge of how it's going to go next time. But you ask, what if there isn't going to be a next time? And we say, stow that bad news cargo on the sure-to-sink ship, because that ship's about to hit Sad Island and we don't want you on it. A standard is setting a level for yourself of what you will or won't tolerate. You get to decide how it's going to be for you. You can now design the person you want to be in the future and the standards you want to have. Write your new standards down so you won't ever forget them, no matter how cute he is or how long it's been since you've had sex. Okay, we admit it. Some of our exercises were a little silly, but this one, we mean. Make sure you know what you stand for and what you believe in. And because we obviously think we know better than you, we did get a book deal, didn't we? We're going to give you some standard suggestions.
Standard suggestions.
I will not go out with a man who hasn't asked me out first. I will not go out with a man who keeps me waiting by the phone. I will not date a man who isn't sure he wants to date me. I will not date a man who makes me feel sexually undesirable. I will not date a man who drinks or does drugs to an extent that makes me uncomfortable. I will not be with a man who's afraid to talk about our future. I will not, under any circumstances, spend my precious time with a man who has already rejected me. I will not date a man who is married. I will not be with a man who is not clearly a good, kind, loving person. Now it's your turn. Only you know the standards you haven't set for yourself. When you finish listening, write them down. Don't forget them.
Glossary.
Now that you've set your standards, we want to make sure you keep them. People talk about looking out for the red flags, but they don't often tell you how to find them. That's why we've comprised a handy glossary of the most often used words that guys say when what they really mean is, I'm just not that into you.
Seemingly innocent words and phrases that can also be used for evil.
Friend.
What it should mean.
I would never do anything to intentionally hurt you.
What it sometimes means.
I'm just not that into you. Busy.
What it should mean.
I was just inaugurated President of the United States today.
What it sometimes means.
I'm just not that into you. Bad boy.
What it should mean.
A guy you should stay away from.
What it sometimes means.
A guy you should stay away from. I'm not ready.
What it should mean.
I can't find my pants.
What it sometimes means.
I'm just not that into you. Call me.
What it should mean.
I dropped my cell phone in the ocean and I lost your number.
What it sometimes means.
I'm just not that into you. Not into family.
What it should mean.
I don't want to date your mom.
What it sometimes means.
I'm just not that into you. Fear of intimacy.
What it should mean.
A fear of being intimate.
What it sometimes means.
I'm just not that into you.
Chapter 14. Q&A with Greg.
I know some of these ideas are new to people and hard to digest. Because of that, I feel Greg still has a little explaining to do to make sure no one walks away with the wrong idea. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I can use Greg to explain a few things to me. Some of these ideas are hard to digest. Liz. Greg, seriously, are you really sure I can't ask the guy out? Guys say I'm intimidating. I should be allowed to help them out a bit.
Most of the great things in life we want are intimidating. That's what makes life so darn exciting. Do you really have time for a guy who's so afraid of you that he's not even capable of inviting you for coffee?
Greg, are you so sure there are so many great guys out there that I can just throw all of these other less-than-perfect guys away?
I don't know how to answer that except to say that being in a good relationship is much better than being in a bad relationship. And you'll never be able to be in a good relationship if you're sticking with Mr. Shitty What's-His-Name. Only you can know if the relationship you're in isn't good enough for you. A good indication that it is not is if you're only staying with What's-His-Name because you're scared.
What if I would rather be with someone who might not be that into me than be alone?
I get it. You can feel like crap and be alone. Or feel like crap and at least have someone to spend the holidays with. Got it. It seems like it might be a fair trade, except for the fact that it means the only two options you are giving yourself involve feeling like crap. By staying with the guy who's not that into you, you're ensuring that you're never going to find the one that is. I say, not to anyone's surprise, take the risk of not having someone to spend Christmas with, possibly feel lonely for a while, but know that you're doing it for a much bigger payoff at the end.
Greg, do you really think there are that many men out there who are capable of being as loving as you think I deserve?
Yes, I do, I do, I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be writing this book.
Greg, in the book you say that I shouldn't talk to my ex-boyfriend unless he's begging to get back together with me. But then you also say that I should be suspicious of a guy that wants to get back together with me after he's broken up with me. What's up?
Well, my first point was, I want you to see the difference between an ex who just misses you and needs a fix and a man who realizes he made a mistake and seriously wants to get back together with you. But even then, I think you must proceed with caution and truly question this man's motives. And I definitely want you to stay away from any man that keeps breaking up with you on a regular basis.
Do you think a bad guy can change into a good guy within a relationship?
I'm loath to say this to someone who might be coming from an unhappy situation and is wanting me to validate it. I believe that anything is possible. However, my experience has been that most men do not change, and the ones I've seen change only changed when they met a new woman.
What if I only seem to be attracted to guys who are just not that into me?
Okay, so you have this crazy quirk that somehow makes you able to sniff out men that are going to end up being emotionally unavailable to you. We can talk about why that is and what your priorities are that make these men seem attractive to you. However, what we can most quickly rectify is how long you stick around once you know that he's just not that into you. A lot of guys, good and bad, are going to fly in your direction. Which ones you pick to invest your time in is where you have your control. Immediately.
Come on, Greg. Admit it. Sometimes there are real, sincere reasons why a guy who really likes me isn't able to get in a serious relationship with me. It doesn't have to mean he's just not that into me.
Maybe there are men out there like that, and maybe there aren't. This is the only thing you need to remember. Mr. I'm just not that up for it is exactly the same guy as Mr. I'm just not that into you. Both guys don't want to be with you. One of them may say he can't be with you, but it's still the same result. He isn't going to be with you. Don't let his personal complications confuse you into waiting around for him. He's not able to be really into you, and you deserve better.
You seem to have a fascination with seeing women in their underwear. What's that all about?
I don't think there's anything sexier than a woman in her underwear. Sue me.
Chapter 15. Closing remarks from Greg. Don't waste the pretty.
I was talking to a girl I had just met in Austin, Texas one night, who was having a very common he's just not that into you problem. She had met a guy at work who right away came on hot and heavy. They had sex on the first date, and then he disappeared. Figuratively, that is. He didn't go anywhere, and they still saw each other, but the guy she met was gone. He was replaced by a guy who wouldn't make eye contact, was grumpy and tired all the time, didn't really want to have sex with her unless he was drunk, and never made formal plans to see her. Oh, and he told her that she was the greatest girl he'd ever met, that he'd never felt this way before, and you guessed it, that he was scared. I wanted to meet him so that I could put him in a glass case and tour him around the world with a sign that reads, "This is the guy we've been warning you about. Step away from the glass." I was very excited to reveal the newly minted "He's just not that into you" concept. She is going to be blown away like the girls at Sex and the City were, and on her way to a new and happier reality, was my thought. However, as I started sharing my wisdom, I could sense some tension. "How do you know I'll find somebody else?" she asked. "I don't. I just don't see the point of being in a relationship that appears to be damaging and beneath you. You're really cool and obviously very cute, and you don't know me," she practically shouted, cutting me off mid-sentence. "How do you know I can do better? You've only just met me, and why do you care anyway?" Wow, she had me dead to rights. I was stunned for a moment. But then, I remembered why I'm doing this. And I said to her what I would say to you now. I don't need to know you to know that at the very least you ought to think that way about yourself. And why do I care? Or, better yet, who am I to be giving advice to others? I am a formerly single guy who gave the same lame excuses, so I know what these guys are really doing. When I met my wife, Amira, I became a different guy. A man who showed up, suited up, and was glad to do so, because I believe in love the verb, not the noun. I believe in letting the woman I love know I love her all the time with my actions. Why do I care about you? Because I have a sister and many women friends who I love dearly despite their unwillingness to hear the clanging bells of a crappy relationship. Because I have a wonderful sister and so many amazing women friends who still don't have the confidence to believe that they deserve better and will only find someone better after they unload the dead weight of an inadequate suitor. Because I have an incredible sister and so many brilliant women friends who don't truly accept that profound love is uplifting, joyous, inspiring, and intoxicating, and that they should never settle for anything less. Shitty relationships make you feel shitty, and that is not what you were put on this earth for. It's all fun and games to have some insight and a witty reply to your letters, but at the core, the "he's just not that into you" concept can truly have a magical, transcendent effect. It's not bad news if it helps you free yourself from a relationship that is beneath you, and we both know that only you can free yourself. I don't pretend to know how to fix you. I do know how to help you recognize the problem. I do know that you are worthy of having great relationships and an even better life. I do think you are beautiful, and somewhere deep down inside you know it too. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. I believe life is a speedy and awesome gift, so don't waste the pretty. If you are listening to this, you want something better. If you are listening to this, I want something better for you too. Greg.
Closing remarks from Liz. Greg can be really annoying.
Greg can be really annoying. I understand. I work with him. Even during the writing of this book, he has managed to dash my hopes and dreams about men I've been optimistic about dating. It seems no one is good enough for Greg. It's impossible to please Greg with his high demands on men's behavior. Who does Greg think he is? So what if my guy calls me on Monday instead of on the weekend like he said he would? What's so wrong with that, Greg? Jeez, it's one lousy day. With your impossibly high standards, Greg, I'm going to be dating like every 8 years. He's also so absolute. He really doesn't live in the gray area. I do. In fact, I bought a co-op and moved into the gray area. It's the right choice for me, even though the maintenance is really high. I don't know theoretically what I'd do if my spouse, who I was married to for 15 years and had 3 kids with, cheated on me. Greg does. He's absolute. Also, I'm a pessimist, and Greg's unswerving optimism is really irritating. It annoys me when he tells me that he believes everyone, if they truly believe it and are open to it, will find a good person to love. I don't believe that's true. I think some of those people who are single and ready to have love in their lives are going to get cancer and die, or get hit by a car, or just never find love with a good man and maybe just settle. That's why I'm not the one answering all the questions. I also know that I get really lonely, and Greg has been with his wife for over 5 years now. He doesn't know if I'm single person's lonely. Easy for him to sit at the lazy Susan of love and tell me to keep turning until I find just the right dish. He's got a date for every Valentine's Day for the rest of his damn life. But I do think he's right, a lot of the time, which is the most annoying part of it all. Greg is the older brother we all should have in our lives and in our heads. He demands that men treat us better than even we think they should. We've been conditioned to expect so little, told not to be demanding, not to seem needy. But what would happen if all the women in the world listened to Greg? If we all started insisting that men keep true to their word, treat us with respect, shower us with the appropriate amount of love and affection? I think there would be an awful lot of better behaved men in the world. That's all I'm saying. And in terms of Greg's outlook on the world, well, I can give you incredibly valid arguments, backed up with statistics, flowcharts, and diagrams, for why my pessimism is the more realistic outlook to have. But will it make me any happier? That's where I'm at now, at 41 and still single. What are the points of view and attitudes that are going to make me a happier person? I'm already smart enough. I need a constant dose of happy now. If you are listening to this audiobook, chances are you are someone who has spent too much time with men who have given you too little, meaning you could use a little Greg voice in your head. What woman, really, couldn't use a man in her ear reminding her that she's smart and valuable and worthy and gorgeous and deserving of everything she ever wanted? Not a one. The world out there feeds us a lot of messages telling us otherwise. I think Greg's yelling at us so loud in the hope that he can drown out some of that other noise. I hope this audiobook was helpful to you. I hope it made you laugh a little in recognition. And I hope you find fantastic, healthy, life-changing love just the way you had imagined it, with perhaps a few surprises thrown in just for fun. Liz.
He's Just Not That Into You was written and read by Greg Barrett and Liz Tichillo. The recording engineer was Paul Fowley, with editing and post-production by Steven Strassman. The associate producer was Suzanne Wetzel. He's Just Not That Into You was produced and directed by Elisa Shokoff. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.